will you tell the story about when you got locked in Birchfield Studio? Because I have your write-up of it, but it would be so fun to have a little sound clip.
You know, I never printed that out.
That's okay.
All I remember, and it probably changes every time I tell it, all I remember is my grandfather saying, today we're going to go see Charlie Birchfield. And whether I drove or he drove, because I can't remember how old I was. Now, when did Charlie die?
1967.
Oh. 67, so it had to be in the 60s.
Yeah.
I was 16 at least if I was driving. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if I was driving. Grandpa didn't have much of a car. But anyway, at that point, so we drove in and parked the car, and Charlie came out. They came out, and I don't remember what the conversation was standing, but Charlie said, let's show, or somebody said, show Lee your studio. So we went into the studio, and he was kind of pulling out things. I guess I can't remember. I wasn't all that impressed. So they went in the house, and if I got bored, and I thought, well, I'll just take a walk around the house or something. And went to open the door, and the door had locked behind them. So there I was, locked in his studio, unfortunately not knowing who this man was really, and I can't even remember what I saw in the studio. Got it, I guess.
It didn't
look familiar, but then again, I don't remember. So what I figure that was, and I think I've told you, this is pure surmisal. It may have been done on the phone long before. I think Birchfield was in need of some money, or who knows what. Anyway, he wanted to sell a painting, and Grandpa agreed to buy one. And I don't know who set the price, but it was pretty darn cheap. Now, mm-hmm. I could probably find out what it was if I looked through the files there, because all the documentation. It was something, I think, like $13,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he gave him a check then. Grandpa had no money. So anyway, it eventually came from Evelyn Hill Olmsted, Grandpa's second wife. And she wasn't all that happy about spending that amount of money, but she never really said anything to anybody other than to Grandpa, like, you know. And the story of her is she was an orphan. Mm. She was orphaned very young, and her parents' lawyer took her on as her guardian, and he was a lawyer for the Pennsylvania Railroad. So that's why she traveled all over with her guardian,
mm-hmm.
and his name was Frank Rumsey, mm-hmm. but not one of those Rumseys as far as we've ever figured out. Although you know our family did marry into that Rumsey family.
Oh yeah?
The Carol of Buffalo that I was telling you
yes.
about? She married Tom Rumsey.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever met him, but you've met David.
Yes.
You've met, maybe not Danny. Have you ever met Danny?
I think
he moved out of state.
Mm-hmm.
David's pretty pompous,
mm-hmm.
but so I emailed Christy about a year ago. I said, Chris, whatever happened to all that Rumsey money? He said, my uncles and pissed it all away, which would have been his dad. And I don't know how much was left.
Mm-hmm.
But his mom, their mom, lived forever,
mm-hmm.
seemed to me.
Mm-hmm.
When they sold it to the painting, the Oncoming Spring Birchfield painting,
yep.
right,
mm-hmm.
that our family did not want to just totally donate it because we knew it had great wealth,
mm-hmm.
and we had the camp.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they got Moot. Rit Moot.
Mm-hmm.
Richard
Moot. Mm-hmm.
Neat guy. He would have been in his 90s. In fact, he was a classmate of Mimsy's at Elmwood Elementary. I have a funny story about this too. He was the founder of the Western New York Foundation, I think it's called.
Okay.
You have to fill out about 10,000 pages to get $50.
Yep.
I understand, because we tried it. Although they were good to us, but not like OSHA or whatever you call it.
OSHA.
Anyway, I can't remember, but I think it was something like 45,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the work?
I think that's about right.
Yep.
And they split that between Mom, Clara, Burton, and Mimsy.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seemed to me it was 9,000 each. Mm-hmm. Does that come out 4
sure.
times 9?
About right.
She keeps agreeing with me. Who knows?
Well, no, I'm saying, like, yeah, those are like, things that I can double check,
yeah.
like in our records.
Anyway, so Clara had passed away by then, so they split it between
the
twins, and so it wasn't a great amount per person, but at least somebody got something for it. Which was a better deal. My dad got a better deal on the camp. He only paid $900.
For the camp?
Not for the land, but for all the buildings that my great grandfather had built. Oh, my great
grandfather. Oh, that's a
$900 because there were
damn.
Three kids and the family was divorced, so
right.
to the kids they each gave $300.
Oh.
It took $3,000 to build it, from
uh-huh.
what I understand.
Yeah.
All that wood.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think a lot of that he might have gotten. Well, we always heard from the Buffalo Pitt Company, which built these things like International Harvesters and shipped them all over the country and
mm-hmm,
then went
mm-hmm.
into bankruptcy and didn't have the money to bring back all their equipment.
Yeah.
But that happened after this, after the camp was built. But it did happen during my great uncle's reign as the lawyer for Buffalo Pitt and his son John, who built the camp.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard the complete story on that. It went into bankruptcy during their reign, though.
Okay.
And every now and then you can see on the boards, if you have slept in any of those rooms, Olmsted.
Uh-huh.
Black Crayon. Have you ever seen
that?
When you look
yes.
up on the boards? Because those were shipped out from Buffalo.
So he got it from
I would love to know that story.
But your dad bought the properties from your uncle.
From my uncle.
Right, so that's
who,
the,
yeah,
he also
yeah.
he gave him
$300. Well, no, he bought the land from Maisie Benton, who owned this house.
Okay.
And all the land.
Right.
Yeah.
All I know about... I don't know what Mom paid for. That's probably in the deed. I don't know if they, I don't know if they list prices in the deed.
Which is pages and pages long.
Yeah, I know,
right?
Because
I
it goes back to the beginning of time.
Right, but I don't think that it's.
I don't think they list the price, although somewhere it's probably listed. It would
right.
be. It would be fun to know what they paid for. The house was empty.
Yeah.
They had an auction. A lot of stuff. Grandpa, or they might have bought a few pieces. I know they bought the hutch next to my computer. And a chair up in my bedroom,
because mm-hmm.
I found that in a picture from when Maisie lived here.
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, so that was 1940, and at that time, Maisie, who had moved across the street and was in her 60s by then, who sold this house, because this house was empty. She had gotten married and moved across the street, and her mother had lived here until she died, and then they just had Johnny Nottis. You read, all this is in those men.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Nottis slept in this house and maintained the cows
mm-hmm.
for Maisie and put out the milk and everything. Mm-hmm. They were milking when we were kids here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what Maisie did is she had raised her grandson, Larry, who's my age, and saved a piece of land going right through the alfalfa field
yep.
for Larry, should he ever want to build a house. Well, Larry sold that to Mom. And Mom, I remember Mom telling me, well, I just bought the last piece to put the farm together. And that last piece cost me more than the whole farm.
Oh.
So I can't remember what year that was, but it had to be. I was old enough to understand what she was talking about, so it was probably about
mm-hmm.
maybe 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of inflation there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
that's
so then, so 1940, when Maisie died across the street, she had taken her furniture over there, except for a few pieces. Oh, yeah, no, I know. I don't think Dad, Mom and Dad bought anything from them in the 1940s, but maybe two or three beds. But when her stuff went up for sale, there's Grandpa bidding for stuff for the farmhouse because
uh-huh.
he wanted to see it back in the farmhouse.
Sure.
Because he's the same age as Maisie.
Uh-huh.
And
now he's living here at that point.
He wasn't. Grandpa never lived here.
Okay.
Grandpa, no, he always lived in Springville.
Mm-hmm.
And that house is being fixed.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. The guy lives in Alaska, but he comes back every now and then, works a little bit
wow.
more. He won't be able to retire until next fall. So
oh, okay.
He bought
all right. Is he originally from here?
Yeah.
From
he grew up here.
I'm
working
in Alaska.
So other than that...
a great find.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been. It needed all new plumbing, all new electricity, and a lot of trees needed to come down behind
mm-hmm.
it. I don't know if this guy's going to do that. He's got a full parking lot. They could have put in a nice dentist office in there. I mean, there's a But it's the woods behind. Right. They could have just made it. Because many, you could, that whole area of East Hill is a historical
right.
side.
Yeah.
What?
How did you know Edna?
I really didn't know Edna. I met Edna. And of course, you know, she discovered my grandfather.
Yes?
Yes, she discovered my grandfather.
Well, in her interpretation. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right,
but
right.
Yes,
no,
major
no,
exhibition.
I know. I'm saying that facetiously.
Yeah.
Anyway, I walked in. When I moved here, one of Grandpa's friends, he was long gone. I moved here in 84. One of my grandfather's dear, dear friends, Dorothy Bartlett, died. And no, she called me. She did it twice. She wanted to wallpaper the entire house at her expense if I would pick the wallpapers.
This house?
Thank God I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. The hallway, it's already peeling off in the first year.
You should see my house.
Anyway, well, I'm sorry I couldn't pass that on to you. But anyway, the next thing she sent me was something like $500 for anything I needed. So I decided to take all of Grandpa's paintings and have them rematted. And how I knew about Grace Maibaum's place, I have no idea. Because Grandpa wasn't alive then. Anyway, so I start going to see into the Maibaum gallery. Not the gallery, but the, you know, where she does all the framing and all. So I would take like 3 paintings every week. And I got them done. Beautiful job. They're all over the house now.
Yes.
All her reframings.
So she does.
And it's all acid-free mats and ultraviolet-free glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even tell her what kind of frame I want, which is unfortunate because she framed that one in that dark, dark, dark.
Yeah.
And we just had that reframe for Grandpa's opening at the gallery over in Springville, and I couldn't believe it because it had a really nice white trim around it and then sort of a sky blue matte in that and then just a simple frame originally, so it pushed the picture up.
Yeah.
That I think she thought we wanted to hang it down at the camp, so she was trying to make it woodsy. I don't know. I've never seen anything. Anyway, so going in, and one day I went in. It was after I had gone through a bunch of these things and discovered the Metcalf house.
Yes.
Yeah.
That interior?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Drawings?
At Rockwell. Or wait, what part are you thinking of?
Well, what's at Rockwell?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the dining room, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But Grandpa had architectural designs. Mead and Stanford?
Yes. Yep.
Stanford, wasn't it?
Stanford,
Mead, and what?
And White?
I'd have to.
I'm
drawing. These things I always remember. But anyway, they were signed. We don't know why Grandpa had them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they, when they went to tear it down or something to take it off to the, maybe he got the designs and advice. I've never seen anything in any of that recorded as to why he had those. So we gave them to the Erie County Historical Society. Mm. Okay. So let's see, Harold. What other things? Well, as a kid, of course, he was the teller of, you know, all kinds of stories for us. And the fairy houses in the morning with the dew collects.
Uh-huh.
Do I remember the fairy houses? We had to go out and see the fairy houses and find out who's living where now in the fairy houses. I mean, he had little, all I remember is constant stories for the kids. And he would read to us after lunch, too, so it would be quiet. And I don't know, I think he needed the quiet.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd all go swimming. But there was a tree, and it's still down there. There's a piece of that tree down there, you know, where you walk along the lane. I think I told you about this. You walk past the tennis court, down the lane, like you're going to the swimming hole. And before you go down that very first hill, right in front of you is this big hunk of a, it was a bit of a tree, about that big. And that was an apple tree up until about 5 years ago. And finally died. And I dragged most of it over the bank, but I left that one piece there because that apple tree, when we come up from swimming, Grandpa would have us telephone in the big knot hole to Santa Claus what we wanted for Christmas. And I wonder if he sometimes remembered some of the stuff because we always got neat presents. It might be a box of watercolors with a pad that you could use your palette knife. Yeah, or a really good Radcliffe book.
Uh-huh.
You know, the illustrations, amazing.
Yes.
I mean, old, probably found down at the camp. It was always just something like that that just, although you looked at it, it wasn't a big shiny doll. But over the years, you never forgot it. And the one thing he sent to me, and I can't find it, I had it out 2 years ago, was this Elizabethan theater. It was about this big. It had the orchestra painted on the front. It had the stage. And then the sides came up over the palladium, whatever you call that. And then it had racks in the back for dropping scenery. And the books that came with it, he must have gotten this at a museum. I've seen it on the web. Because we wondered what this thing was worth now. You got these pamphlets with maybe a Shakespearean story or some silly, but they're all period. And the characters you used to cut out, and believe me, you'd have Hamlet in four different positions. And you'd to glue them on cardboard. I mean, this took hours, and I wasn't really good at it. But I was old enough, I was probably 14 when he sent this to me. But it also had two of those dry cell batteries and little clip-on lights. Now, it sounds fancier than it was, but it really held me. Not so much to, well, I would cut these things out. Then there were these wires, and you'd stick the little character in this end, and you could stand behind it, lift the curtain. It wasn't a curtain, it was just a piece of wood that came down that was painted like a curtain, and you work the characters and read the script. I never did that. I never got that far. But what I did do, which is interesting, I don't know if I ever told him this, I would write my own little plays. I'd either draw the characters or cut them out of a magazine. And then I created backdrops. That was the most fun. You know, wintry scenes, stormy scenes. And sometimes it was just making collages out of pictures out of magazines.
Uh-huh.
And those are with it somewhere because I brought it down once when my kids were probably teenagers. So there were a few younger ones who tried to interest some kids in, just write your own play, and this is what I did. But nobody picked up on it. And I thought, well, I guess it takes being alone in your playroom,
mm-hmm.
all to yourself. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't do this in front of people. But it was an interesting gift to give to a kid, where it was, any other family would have said, oh, we're putting this on a shelf. You're not playing with this. You know, I ruined the thing practically.
That sounds so
But it was such
beautiful.
A universe, a marvelous present for it. And I wonder what he paid for it. Because it had to be from a museum.
Uh-huh.
Or else he had catalogs from museums. And if you go on, I think it's called, what is it called? I should know this because I think I wrote it on the, it's in a box somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was in here for years. And I think Leah keeps moving things up to the attic just because the room's filled up with her dog food and other things. So, anyway, then what else is there? I think that would be it for now. I would think maybe Leah in the future at some point might want those boxes over there.
Yeah. We can talk about that at some point.
Well, it's just, I think it's just something that I hope Leah will pass on to maybe, or Yanni, to Max or whoever's
mm-hmm.
in it. Because they never knew him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, although those are historical for camp. And family.
Mm-hmm.
But, we need a whole nother room.
Well,
like,
what you need is a good filing cabinet.
Well, like,
you
never got to Jerry's house.
Right.
We should have saved that one, but I don't know where we would have put it.
What,
it was
the filing
huge.
Cabinet?
It was a big wooden cabinet and the page, you know, big, deep for putting paintings and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I think, well, it wasn't anything fancy. It was
right.
just, and it could have been made by his friend Nelson Riley that did all the shelves in it. But at least it held a lot of stuff, and that's where Susan keeps pulling all this stuff out.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did with it. Didn't come here. Although, I don't know, why didn't I think of that? I don't
know.
We could brick up a chimney and put in punch.
You okay?
We got enough of them. Seven in this house.
Seven?
Seven fireplaces.
Holy shit.
There's one in every room, and there's one next to my computer, but we bricked that up. So that's carrying the flue for the furnace.
Right.
Oh.
That's fucking something.
There is one in there.
But
I think I'm
going
to have to
good.
Go up. I think I'm going to have to go up. I have not gotten rid of it.